You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to GameSense.ab.ca. And it's a true family affair, which makes it pretty unique. As we have Gama Singh, of course, the great Gama. That's what I like to call him. And of course, his son Raj in studio. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us here.
Thank you very, very much for having us. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, you know, you look a lot nicer in person than the young kid that I remember. Like, Gama Singh could really fire up the crowd. Like, did you love playing the heel?
Well, I've always been a nice guy at heart.
So, Gama and Raj, like, I think it's kind of easy for me to look and say, well, hey, my dad was a wrestler. Not everybody falls in their footsteps, but was it easy to, or maybe was it hard not to get sucked into the wrestling lifestyle? Because I would think as a kid, being close to it, you'd be like, God, like, my dad's kind of cool. This is something I'd want to do.
Yeah, you know, I've got three brothers, so they never got into the business, but I was the only one that really, I didn't look at my dad as just dad. He was like a superhero / supervillain.
Okay.
So I was like, you know, that's super cool, like you just said. And, you know, I get to watch him at the Pavilion on a Friday night and then race home to watch it on TV the very next day. So that was kind of like, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to be just like my dad.
Now, Gama, I know a lot of parents, you don't put any pressure on your son, but was there a part of you that was hoping one of the boys would follow in your footsteps?
Well, yes. To be honest, it was my hope that at least one of them would follow in my footsteps. And at the earlier age, Raj was more interested in hockey.
Okay.
Yeah. So
which is normal.
He pursued hockey, and I was quite okay with that. And eventually one day he came to me and he said, you know what, I want to try give wrestling a shot. It's in my heart. I want to do it, and I love it. That's all I think about. So I told him, I said, if this is what you really want to do, you got to put a lot of effort into it. Be honest with yourself, and then I'll support you.
So how did you, if we go wind back the clock here, and I didn't purposely watch the entire show, because I find if I watch it, sometimes I'll ask too in-depth questions. It kind of ruins it for people that haven't seen it yet. But I did watch the intro. So did you get bullied a bit as a kid? Is that what got you into, like, what led you to say, I think wrestling's what I want to be?
Well, if you watch the movie, obviously you learn, you know why, but yes, as you said, I came into this country as a young 9-year-old kid. Didn't speak a word of English.
Okay. What year is this that you
this
came?
That would be giving my age away, wouldn't it? It was 1962.
Okay.
And at that time, coming into Canada, I didn't speak a word of English. And I honestly thought that everybody in the world spoke my language.
Oh.
And so it's very strange to me.
You're right.
Not knowing the language, not knowing the culture, going to school and hated my parents for bringing me here. You know, I lost all my friends. I didn't have any friends. And I was getting into trouble in schools for reasons I didn't know why. And I was always getting beat up. So I think that eventually that's what motivated me into starting to work out.
Okay.
I started training.
Yeah.
As that happened, I got into high school. They had a wrestling team. So one of my teachers talked me into joining the wrestling team, and I did very, very well. I liked it. So here we are.
So you had no wrestling background at all until high school?
No wrestling background of any kind. No, I did not. So I started amateur wrestling in school, and it all took off from there.
So you become a good wrestler. Now, there's amateur wrestling, but then there's Stampede wrestling, and there's pro wrestling, and it's very different, right? Like, amateur wrestling, there's not the personalities, there's not the villains, right? Like, there's the technique, which is fantastic. Yeah. So when did you kind of learn about the professional side of wrestling and felt like, hey, maybe I could do this?
Well, at first, amateur wrestling, you know, is Olympic wrestling, so you need to have that. That is actually the foundation of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
It gives you a foundation, all the fundamentals, and once you transition into the professional wrestling or professional side of it, which is has a lot of entertainment value to it, but you still need the foundation. It makes it so much easier to transition.
So, Raj, when you, and I'm sure as you got older, you probably sat down with your father and you understood his journey. Like, you come in to Canada in 1962. Unfortunately, I'm sure he endured some racism, no question. You know, especially probably when you're in Alberta at times and Stampede Wrestling. Like I still remember the first, I do want to get your thoughts on my first experience of live Stampede. But Raj, for you, was it easier? Because your dad had kind of, you know, maybe beaten down the path. So he could tell you, okay, this is like, you got to work hard 100%. But maybe your path to get into it was a little bit easier than his?
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that. He paved the way. My dad's a pioneer that he doesn't know the magnitude that he has on our community and guys like me and the next generation of, you know, Indo-Canadians around the world, not just wrestlers, athletes. So seeing that, it was kind of like, okay, you know, he paved the way there. But also, I was learning on the job. You know, like my whole life, I was born into the business. My dad used to take me to the locker room when I was 2-3 years old. So I learned everything. I used to see the way the wrestlers interacted with each other, the way they carried themselves, okay, and all that kind of stuff. So I just, you know, was keeping it in my back pocket. So if this wrestling, if this hockey thing didn't work out, then I was going to jump right into a ring right away.
So when did you first wrestle?
I first started wrestling in 2004.
So what age is that?
I was 20.
20? Okay, so a little bit later. So you play, like, you obviously then you played, like, well, back then it would have been midget hockey, and you played junior?
Yeah, I played midget hockey. Had a couple opportunities with junior, and a few bad injuries, and I told my dad, I think these real injuries in hockey are piling up, so let me go try something a little more dangerous.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's not like wrestling's less dangerous. Gama and Raj Singh joining us in studio. And, of course, Gama, Stampede Wrestling was... I don't remember my grandfather, who, you know, grew up, he's up in Valley View. I don't remember him watching much television, but I remember Saturday afternoons, he had a special chair in his living room, and it was always on, and no one talked when Stampede Wrestling was on. He wanted to listen to the great late Ed Whalen and all the wrestlers. And, you know, as a kid, it was kind of like, wow, I get to watch wrestling and, you know, watching it with grandpa. So it was all cool. And then I really got to know the characters, and like building up the heels was amazing. Like I can list off like so many guys that like Duke Myers, and it was so funny, like with his glove. And then you got Kerry Brown and obviously the Cuban Assassin, but Karachi Vice, like obviously yourself. I want to take us through... Like, obviously, it was a little bit of play, I'm guessing, on Miami Vice, right, with the name somewhat. But you bring in Mike Shaw, and I'm thinking, like, nowadays in 2025, where at times I think we're a little sensitive. So anybody our younger generation doesn't know, Mike Shaw is a Caucasian guy. He's a big man. And so his character, he would cut, and he wore a turban. And he was part of, like, you know, Karachi Vice and the Singh Dynasty. It was unreal. Was that your idea? How did you guys come up with that?
Well, I started the whole thing.
Okay.
I brought Mike Shaw in as my partner.
Yeah.
Spoke to the promotion and said, you know what, let's make him my partner and bring him in, and we'll put a turban on him. And we did that, and then the office wanted to go a little further with it. Okay, we need to change his name as well if we're going to put a turban on this guy. So we made him a born-again Sikh. But at that time, the people didn't know the difference. They said born-again Pakistani.
Okay.
So it didn't matter. In Canada, it didn't matter to them whether you're Pakistani or you're Indian. To them, it was all the same thing.
Okay.
So he was a born-again Sikh, had to change his name. So I came up with the name Makhan Singh. And that name just kind of caught fire right off the bat.
Oh, that is, and he was really good at playing like the villain role, like, and that because it was Makha Singh, and he was great, because not everybody can be a good villain. I don't think
that was his thing. Yeah, Mike was his wrestling ability was somewhat limited,
yeah,
because of his size, and however, he was very good on the mic.
Yes,
he was a very good talker, and I saw that in him, and that's why I presented the idea to the office, and then we went ahead with it.
It's fascinating to me, like that, and I hope you guys get more into that in the doc bench, because that's such a unique part of wrestling. Like, there's lots of character development, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just like you come out and say, okay, you know, we're gonna put a turban on his head and that's it. Like, yeah. You really got to get into it.
Yeah, of course, and Mike. Mike loved the idea, so as we brought him in, a couple of more guys wanted to be part of the group. Steve DeSalvo,
yes,
a great big muscular guy, looked like the ultimate warrior.
Yes.
He says, I want you guys to put a turban on me. I said, yeah, of course, we'll do that. You know. So we did that with him, and there was Jerry Morrow, Champagne Jerry Morrow.
Oh, God.
A few others, and then... one day, with the five or six of us, were walking into the ring to do a... the interview, and Kerry Brown was sitting there, and he looked at us. He said, "Yeah, this looks like the Karachi Vice." So the words came out of his mouth.
Okay.
And I picked up on it. I went and did the promo, and I used the word Karachi Vice. I just said, "This is the Karachi Vice right here." And the following week, people came out. There was big signs and like Karachi Mice, and this is the Karachi Lice, and so on. You know, it just caught fire.
That it's so amazing. Like, just a simple thing that, you know, he sees and it comes up. But, you know, it's not like guys were sitting around a boardroom table. No. Oh, we came up this amazing idea. No, it's awesome.
Yeah, it was just an accidental thing, and it just caught fire.
So now, how did that come across in the Sikh and Pakistani community? Like, did they love it, or were they like, "Hey, this is offensive. You can't just wear our turban."
You know what? They saw it here. They saw me as a spokesman for them.
Okay.
You know, so I was representing them, so they were behind me 100%, no matter what I did.
Because, to be honest, in the sporting world in North America in 1982, 1985, there wasn't a lot of Pakistani men or Sikh men to look for. So they would, "Hey, this is great. It's entertainment."
Right. That's right.
And now we even have some Caucasian guys that are like, "Hey, Jerry Morrow, Black, hey, I want to be the part of this."
That's right.
It's very
that's
unique when you think about it.
It was for sure. And I know that the people that I met on the street, then especially my people, I would meet them and they would like look at me and, you know, "It's a pleasure to meet you." And then, "Thank you very much. You've uplifted the image of our community."
How did you take the in-ring persona? Because I know some guys at times, like, you got to carry it around with you because that's kind of what the fans want, right? Like, they want you to be that. So was it hard? Because, you know, every story, I think I've read about, you know, he was such a good teammate and really nice guy, but you could play the villain. So did you have to be the villain outside of the ring? The persona?
Yes, I didn't like it.
Okay.
But yeah, you pretty much had to carry that image outside the ring. Otherwise, you would just destroy your own image.
Okay.
You know, because this was my bread and butter.
Right.
And if the people come to realize, "Hey, this guy's he's not really as he is on television," it makes a difference in your drawing power.
Gama Singh and Raj Singh join us. Singh's in the ring tonight in Edmonton. It's sold out, unfortunately, but that's great for everybody who's going. But if you wanted to go, we'll talk to Shane. But do you guys know when will this be available for people to see outside of the shows?
Yeah, it'll be on Crave on October 20th.
October 20th on Crave. Well, I don't think I'm going to wait that long. I watched part of it yesterday, but I'm like, I don't want to watch the rest of it. But I'll get my son to watch. He's kind of at that age. He's 11. He's kind of, you know, he gets into wrestling. Like, we've always, you know, done elbow smashes and stuff, wrestling with your kid. It's a great thing. But I want to ask you, you know, growing up in it and you saw it, were there certain characters, persona guys, you were just like, "Man, that guy was my favorite because of a certain reason," outside of your dad?
Well, yeah, my dad was obviously the easy answer, but it was kind of weird because the Stampede guys, I didn't really like their personas and stuff because I knew what they really were like behind the scenes. So I was like, "Okay, this guy's just playing."
Okay.
But for me, I was a big Razor Ramon guy.
Oh, toothpick.
I wanted to be a cool guy, so I really liked Razor Ramon, Rick the Model Martel, and of course, everybody loved the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
What kid didn't want to see a crazy guy with face paint and big muscles running around?
Well, his entrance was unreal, right? So, Gavin, you retired, I think, full-time from wrestling at 39, 40?
Yeah, I was 39 years old.
Around there. So you came here. I'm doing the math in my head, like, you know, mid-90s, give or take, is when that happened. The wrestling, it kind of, you know, it's evolved a lot, right? Like, Stampede wrestling, there was always, you had to be good on the mic, but it almost, like, in Raj's generation, it's almost like more on the mic a little bit. How does a guy who saw it, where did you come out on the transformation where the persona was almost more important than your wrestling skills?
I'm a little stuck with that answer now. It's a little bit difficult for me to see how, you know, I was more on the athletic side.
Yes.
You know, at that time, and my speaking ability was somewhat limited. But then I realized that you needed both. Okay. I've watched a number of the top guys told me, you know, it's a 60-40 split. And I always thought 60% athletics, 40% your talking ability. They said, no, it's the other way around. 60% talk, you know, talking and 40% ability to perform. So I practiced.
How'd you improve? How'd you become a better talker?
I practiced, and the person that taught me was Roddy Piper.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, Roddy Piper and I were good friends, and he told me, you know what, you need to get on the microphone just at home in front of a mirror and just practice.
Okay.
Practice. And that's what he used to do, and that's what I did.
So you're sitting at home in the mirror, and you're just practicing how you're going to speak, and you know you got to be obviously as the heel. You know you're ripping on some people sometimes, and because that's not your natural persona. But I guess it's like playing a character, so that's fun.
I don't know. I think sometimes you actually practice on his kids.
Oh, strict household in the Sing household.
Very strict household. Like, I had to parade around with a microphone in my hand to pretend to be a Stampede wrestler. I was getting in trouble.
Oh,
if I can tell you this one little story about Raj.
Okay,
he was probably about 2 years old. WWF came to Calgary for the first time with Hulk Hogan. And it was a combination of Stampede and WWF together.
Okay.
So the Saddle Dome was sold out.
Yeah.
I took him to the dressing room, and first person he saw was Hulk Hogan. He goes, oh, his eyes lit up. Hulk Hogan. And he went, shook hands with him. But his favorite was King Kong Bundy.
Okay.
So he saw King Kong Bundy on the opposite end of the dressing room sitting there, and he went running over to Bundy, and he said, King Kong Bundy. And he went running over there. First thing he did was hit him in the stomach. So Bundy punched him back. And then he hit him again, and Bundy punched him back. And then he looked at Hogan, and
Get him.
This was a two-year-old kid.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Those guys, that's such a unique opportunity as a kid to be behind the scenes. And you probably, like anything in life, we don't necessarily realize how good we have it until, you know, we're past it. But, you know, the uniqueness of... You were on stand, but you did a lot of the different wrestling circuits, right? And you were in WWE working with those guys. How different was it from a wrestling standpoint, and maybe just from a business standpoint?
Well, I was fortunate enough that I did a lot of tours with WWF.
Yeah.
So I was what they called overseas, their international talent.
Okay.
At that time, they had two groups.
Right.
They had the regular group for the States, and then the one that they would send overseas.
Okay.
So I was one of the overseas talents that they did. I did that. I did a lot of trips to South Africa, a lot of trips to the Caribbean, and so forth. But the wrestling was still wrestling. You know, I mean, it's like dancing. You get two different dance partners, but you still know how one leads and the other follows.
Right.
Basically, that's what it is. That's what wrestling is.
Now, you mentioned getting better on the mic. You come to Canada. You're 9 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
You don't speak one word of English. Your English is great. How long did it take? Like, did you do extra schooling, extra tutor? Like, how'd you pick up the language so well? Because if people right now are listening, they're probably like, well, he has no accent. Sounds totally like a Canadian guy, but he didn't speak a word of it when you're nine.
Well, that's because I got educated here in Canada. So coming here at such a young age, I didn't know a word of English, like I said. But then you had pretty much didn't have really any choice but to learn.
Okay.
So six months being here, I started to pick up some words.
A little bit. A few swear words, maybe?
Not at home.
Not at home. Now you mentioned you weren't you know, like a lot of kids. I could see moving across the country at 9 years of age. So country, and it's like, do you remember what month of year it was? Like, when was your first winter? Because you'd never experienced cold like that.
That would be 62. Would be my first winter because my mother and I came to this country in April or May of 1962.
Just the two of you.
My father was already here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he sponsored us.
Okay.
So we came, and that winter, that year was my first winter, and I had no idea. I'd never seen snow before coming from India, you know? Yeah, so it was very strange, and it was a process.
Have you ever wrestled in India? Did you ever wrestle, I should say?
You know what? I have not, to be honest.
Would you have liked to? Is wrestling big there?
Wrestling is very
good. Have you wrestled in India?
No, not yet, actually. It's actually no. Funny. No, not yet. But
what the hell's going on here? You got working, the Singhs in the working, ring. You guys haven't wrestled in India? We're what the hell's going on? We're too who's your agent? We're going to have to talk to him.
We're too busy representing India over here.
Yeah. No, that's but I would think that would kind of be, you know, like in your career, if you look back, say if there's one thing I would have done, you probably would have liked to be in Gama Singh wrestling in India.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, on my international tours, when I was with WWF, there was a lot of people wanted to. A lot of people came from India to the shows in the Middle East, and they spoke to us. They wanted to do the tours, but I think it was the cost factor. You know, the Indian currency was so low, especially back then. So that probably kept them away.
We are joined by Gama and Raj Singh. This is fantastic. I'm having so much fun. I know you guys got to get going and we got to move on, but we got a few more minutes. I want to just going back to the Stampede Wrestling. And was there anyone who did you feel like was the best wrestler for you? Like, you're just like, God, we had great matches. And why?
There was a few of the guys I can name off. Chris Benoit was one of them.
Okay.
Chris was a young and upcoming kid, and I was already a veteran.
Yeah.
So it was easy to guide Chris, and he followed. And you'd more or less call the match, and he was there for you.
Okay.
So I had a lot of trust in him. We had very, very good matches. Owen Hart was another one. We had fantastic matches with him. Davey Boy and Dynamite.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, these guys.
That's
when
Karachi Vice is going toe-to-toe with them.
Yeah, toe-to-toe with them. And it was so easy. I mean, we understood each other without having to talk to each other. We knew what we wanted.
What about Ed Whalen? And just like Ed was an amazing host. Like he was so great at like acting like he was just so mad at certain times, right? And the wrestlers would just get him so annoyed. Like I thought like he was a great character really in his role.
Yeah, he was. Ed was very good at his job. However, he was very strict about certain things. He wanted to keep this as a family show.
Okay.
He didn't like when the guys were starting to bleed and that sort of thing.
Okay.
He would right away want to cut it off. And we had a lot of issues with Ed on that sort of a topic. He wanted to keep it a family show. He wanted to keep it inside the ring, no fighting outside the ring. And he would actually get upset about that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, actually, so he wasn't acting.
So he probably really was mad.
He was really mad. Now, did you have, who did you like watching? Like, who did you, God, like, I just enjoy their matches.
You know what? As a young kid growing up, I grew up in Merrick, B.C.
Okay.
So All-Star Wrestling was big in British Columbia at the time, so I didn't know anything about Stampede Wrestling, and that's what we used to watch. So my heroes over there at that time were guys like Don Leo Jonathan, Mark Lewin, there was the Tolis brothers, Dean Higuchi.
Okay.
So these guys were all big guys, and I mean they were really, I was really impressed with them. So those are my heroes.
How do you ever get really hurt in a match?
Yes.
What happened?
Oh, yes. I mean, I can't tell you how many times throughout my career, you know. You could take a bad slam.
Yeah.
A bad suplex off the top from the top turnbuckle. Or you get thrown over the top rope and you miss the top rope and you land. And you end up
because the top rope you would use to slow you down a bit.
Yeah, you would control your fall.
Right.
And then you miss the top rope, you're in trouble. So you're talking about maybe a 10-foot drop right on the concrete floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Raj, what about you? Worst injury?
Oh, man. Laundry list. But ACL gone, broken collarbone, dislocated shoulder.
Broke your collarbone in a match?
Yep. Yep.
What happened?
A lot of injuries. Bad slam, just like how my dad said, you know, and then sometimes you just get thrown from a little too high and you land on the mat or you land on the floor from the top rope, and it's unforgiving. The ground is unforgiving, so you have no choice but for your body to break.
Now, did you train in the Hart Dungeon in Calgary?
Actually, I did not train in the Hart Dungeon.
Okay.
No, I was trained in Vancouver. When I finished high school in Merritt, I moved to Vancouver to start training for professional wrestling.
Okay. Have you ever been to the Dungeon, the Hart Dungeon in Calgary? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So as I got trained in Vancouver. And the gentleman that trained me, Bill Perzak, he sent me to Calgary. He says, you know, I've trained you as much as I can, and now if, for you to go any further,
go
you need to go
level.
To Calgary.
Yeah,
yeah. You're gonna I'll take this letter from me. Give it to Stu Hart, and he'll train you.
How was that? Did it work?
Yes.
Yeah. What was the best thing Stu taught you?
Well, Stu himself didn't teach me anything.
Okay.
It was more training with a group of other people, like Bruce Hart was there.
Bruce.
He was also
Keith Hart.
Keith Hart, yeah. Bruce Hart, Smith Hart.
Yeah.
And then a lot of other young guys, wannabe wrestlers, they would be there. So I kind of fell into the group like that. But as far as Stu coming in there and stretching me, I was very lucky. I didn't get any of that.
Didn't get it. So, Raj, before I let you go,
yes, sir.
Sings in the Ring, tonight sold out. Awesome. Third one you guys have sold out. Congratulations. Yeah, I know you guys, I think it's 9 awards already that you've won.
Nominated.
Yeah, sorry, I haven't won, but you're going to win some. Just, you know, we'll send out some positive signs there. But obviously, you know, Shane and his role, of course, is the producer and what you guys have done with it. Give us a little teaser, because I know it comes out October 20th on Crave, but obviously wrestling fans will like it, but what's a non-wrestling fan? Why are they going to gravitate towards this?
I think more importantly, the message that we send across is that this is not just a wrestling movie. This is a movie about family.
Okay.
And if anybody knows me personally or my dad or anybody in our inner circle, family is number one.
Okay.
That transcends wrestling itself. And we're just lucky enough that we get to do what we love while we're, you know, having family gatherings and stuff like that. So we also want to send the message of, you know, positivity, motivation, and we want to inspire the next generation of just entertainers. It's not a movie for Indo-Canadians or any ethnic group. It's a movie for everybody. And just, if you have love in your heart for somebody in your family, you're going to love this movie.
Well, I know Chelsea Green's in it, Bret Hart, also Jinder Mahal, and of course you guys are the main stars in this.
Yep,
I as I mentioned before, I watched a little bit of it, but I didn't want to watch all of it in case I gave too much away, so hopefully we didn't do that. I look forward to it. This has been truly a thrill of mine. Like, Gama, like, I loved and hated you at the same time as a kid in wrestling, so that's when you know you're a great villain. It was like the Karachi Vice. Like, I was looking it up last night at the hockey game because the game was putting me to sleep, and I was watching videos and old things from Karachi Vice. I was like, this has got to be unreal. And all the different wrestlers that I remembered from that time was truly amazing.
Well, so, we do have a little bit of a surprise too. So Karachi Vice shirts will be back on sale after the movie airs tonight.
Come on.
Dead serious.
Really?
Dead serious, buddy.
Yeah, so. We have so many texts coming in. People loving Karachi Vice and just Rockford. I hope these guys are selling Karachi Vice t-shirts. Well, Rockford, that answers your no joke. It just came in. That answers your question.
We got those on. We got some specials.
Where are they going to be on sale at?
We'll have them on sale tonight, and then obviously it'll be on my Instagram or my dad's Instagram, which is True Raj Singh, or at Great Gama, and that'll be the easiest way to grab them there. And then if you see me at a local wrestling show, I'll have those, as well as we do have a limited number of movie posters that are signed by myself, my dad, and my cousin Jinder. So.
Oh, okay.
Special limited for those collectors and crazed wrestling fans out there.
Oh, they love it, man. Trust me. It's funny about wrestling. You kind of go away from it for a bit, but because maybe you get busy and you grow up for a while, but man, now my son's back. Oh, it's awesome. Like, I love it. And I have great memories of, like, I was more of a Stampede wrestling fan. We didn't have cable. And then when I did watch, like, Ultimate Warrior was my guy in WWE back in the day. But it was not the same impression, because I saw it live a few different times in Beaumont, but I still remember the first time at the Gardens, and I remember literally like grandma spitting on the wrestlers as they're going down the aisle. I'm like 10 years old. I'm like, what the hell? Where are we? This is crazy.
We do have one more surprise for anybody and everybody in the Edmonton area. There are only a few tickets left at the Expo Center for TNA Wrestling this Saturday.
Oh, okay.
I will be
You'll be there. Selling some Karachi Vice t-shirts.
And we may have a special guest that's also sitting in this room that's there. So
the big G man. Come out of retirement?
Well, I would like to, but...
The brain says yes, the body says I don't think so.
Exactly.
Still, man, you look like you can rest. You're in great shape. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, his son says he has to be there.
So. Oh, there. Well, that'll be awesome. Well, Raj Gama, thanks so much for this and continued success. I know you guys are going into Toronto, and then everybody can watch it on Crave on October 20th. Well, we'll look forward to it.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having us. So,